As always, the Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. The Mission Morse summer event is on now at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, right there on Causeway Boulevard. You can start at the website edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. They're on a mission to sell 3,000 vehicles in 60 days with the guaranteed lowest prices, all backed by Morse with their price protection promise. Full details are at edmorse.com/promise. And Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, we have been out there. Ira has been out there. Wonderful certified pre-owned Cadillac selection. So much more. edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, the Mission Morse summer event continues. Don't miss new 2018 ATS sedans, only $339, zero down, or get 0% financing 60 months, plus $2,000 down payment assistance on all new 2018s. So hurry to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or visit edmorsecadillactampa.com. See the dealer for all the details. We are so pleased to always give our support to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, more than 70-plus years of Ed Morse quality and service across Florida. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com, and here's Ira.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Happy Thursday, July 12th. It's the Ira Kaufman Podcast, just 2 weeks from the first training camp practice. Unbelievable. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is with us. And, of course, the star of the show, the big man of Tampa Bay, the future Ring of Honor member himself, Mr. Ira Kaufman is here. How are you, Ira?
I'm all geeked up, baby. 2 weeks. Can't wait. It's amazing that we got through this summer. We never missed a podcast, Steve. Didn't miss a column. It's Buck-centric. We ain't talking about the Lightning. We're not talking about the Rays. Blake Snell's name doesn't come on this podcast.
Snub.
Even though you're still talking about the snub. It's all Bucks all the time, Steve. Lee, camp's going to be around the corner. Right before you know it, you better bring a towel. You better bring some water. Lee, you better be prepared. That's all I can say. Because the heat will greet you.
Well, I got to admit, I've never been fond of training camp, and this year I'm especially not fond of it. But I just think that that's been branded in my memory bank. High school football, 95 degrees, middle of the day. Ever since then, I hated training camp. Ever since then.
And if we're feeling that way, Steve, can you imagine the players with all that gear on? Oh, boy.
Well, I'm not a downer guy by nature, but you know what, Ira? I am more looking forward to this training camp than ever before. I'll give you three reasons. One, the whole Fitzpatrick-Jameis thing is great drama. Fantastic drama watching Jameis throwing the ball to Freddie Martino with the
How many reps is Jameis getting?
With the second team and counting reps and just seeing that whole thing play out. 1A is on the days they have the pads on, when they let loose all these new defensive linemen who are fighting for jobs, say what you want, Will Golston, Bo Allen, those guys going in with a starter's mentality. They expect to start. They've started games before. They're not here to just roll over. You got Vita Vea. I want to see if one of our offensive linemen can even block the dude. So, and then you've got all the changes on the O-line. You've got Ryan Jensen, who, you know, he's probably going to go out there to try to hurt somebody right out of the gate. And you got to
maybe start a little scuffle, perhaps.
And Brenson Buckner, his motto, I've been looking deeper and deeper into him, Ira. He demands that the defensive line view themselves as the leaders of the team, not the quarterback. Everything runs through the D-line. They set the tone. I was looking at old training camp stories from the Cardinals. These guys are coming in with the mindset of we're going to win training camp. That's how Buckner's treating it. I'm looking forward to that. I'm very much looking forward to getting into the indoor facility. Every piece of practice is going to have a half an hour of air conditioning. I'm all for that.
You know, Lee, speaking of that Buckner thing that Steve just talked about, look at the 2003 Panthers. Now, that happens to be the year the Bucks were defending champs, and then they fell on their sword, 7-9. And never were the same after that Colts comeback on Dungy's birthday, and we would air on that Monday night. That Panther team went to the Super Bowl and darn near beat the Patriots, and they weren't famous for having Jake Del home, even though they had Steve Smith, who was a hell of a receiver.
Excellent.
And
receiver.
A decent running game. No, they were known for their defensive line. Julius Peppers, Brenson Buckner, Mike Rucker, and Chris Jenkins.
Chris Jenkins.
Thought they were better than the Bucks with Simeon Rice and Sapp, and you know what? They might not have been wrong. They were that good.
I hope Sapp didn't listen to this podcast.
And Buckner was a big part of that. You know, he might not have been the best player on that line. That was Julius Peppers. Peppers has a clear shot to Canton. Nothing's going to stop him. He's still productive. He's a guy that Linda Kemper still wanted to see on the Bucks.
I would have gotten him in here, too. Him.
But Buckner's talking from experience. He knows what a D-line can do. And
wait, just for some high-ranking people at One Buck Palace, we're not calling to bring in Simeon Rice for a look, as we did once before. I know someone was troubled with that. And we had
not with five new defensive
And we had a lot of fun with that. So go ahead, Ira.
Yeah. So, Lee, is it crazy to say that if this D-line plays up to its billing, its expectations, that everything changes on this defense? Maybe everything changes in this franchise.
Well, I've written this a couple times before on a previous podcast of yours. You know, you guys kind of chided me for being so down. And I'm like, well, give me a reason to be optimistic. And I can't find any. However, if the Bucks are going to steal a win in the first three games, if they're going to do anything with Jameis
being... You mean when they're looking into the abyss over there,
And they're looking into the abyss, and like I say, I'm looking into it, too. Again, someone can give me a reason, a valid reason, not because, oh, you want them to. Somebody give me a valid reason to be optimistic, I'll be optimistic. Having said that, and I've written this a couple times, if the Bucks are going to steal a win, the defensive line can't just be good. It must be dominant.
There you go.
It must be dominant.
Not bad.
For example, they're going to have to put Drew Brees on his derriere three or four times to open the season. They want to win that game.
That's hard to do.
But if they're dominant, they can do that. If they're dominant, they're going to have to be dominant.
Now, Lee, Steve, along the lines before, I know you're
Now, let's cut the lines for a second. We have something important to say.
What do you got, baby?
Now, as everyone saw on the headline of this podcast, it says DeMar Dotson, special guest. Now, this is part three of our interview with DeMar, and we get personal with DeMar Dotson. The whole content of this segment is just talking about the personal things that you really never hear discussed in the NFL with players. You don't see in the media. We talk to him about money. We talk to him about growing up poor and what that means to him. We talk to him about a lot of things.
We talked about not making a what if you finish your career without making the playoffs?
A lot of stuff, and that's coming up at the end of this podcast, and then next podcast, we'll talk about some of the key points, and we'll see some of the fan feedback on that. Now, also what's important, fanretreat.com, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, the beloved sponsors, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon right there on Causeway Boulevard.
Well, we'd just be twiddling our thumbs out here, Steve.
They are the big players in this podcast, them and you, Ira. Are actually, they and you, Ira. Better grammar. They are the pillars of the podcast, fanretreat.com. We love them. That's your home for all your airline tickets, Bucks tickets. Use your Joe Bucks fan discount code. The Bourbon Street Takeover, you know all about that. Hotels, whatever you want. And, Ira, let's see. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. You get a free alert so you know when it's in your pocket, in your phone. You drive around, you listen. This is fantastic.
You want to listen to Bob Seger sing Main Street again for the thousandth time?
Do you really want to?
Or you want to hear a breakdown of how the Bucks are going to do it? Now, we were talking about Dotson, so I want to talk about the offensive line.
Before we get to Dotson, you know, you've been blubbering about the O-line. You got some stuff you want to get off your chest. Go ahead.
Now, Lee, this goes under the category of what Jason Light said many times. You can't do it all at one time. Look, they decided pass rush is the priority. And you know what? I can't argue with that.
An epiphany was occurred.
There you go. 22 sacks speaks for itself. It was a big reason why, not the only reason, but a big reason, the biggest reason why the defense sucked in 2017. You gave up the most yards in football, period. That's a fact. It's not an opinion. All right. So they get five new defensive linemen. They didn't ignore the O-line. They got a new anchor. They got Ryan Jensen. He adds a little bit of nasty. Nothing wrong with that. But don't forget, I said a year ago they needed to draft a right tackle. They didn't. Not last year. So now here comes Alex Kappa. We got a glaring hole at right guard. Why? Because Sweezy joins a long list of free agent flops, unfortunately.
Flop. Okay, I was going to say, don't say bust.
Flop. He wasn't healthy when he did play. He wasn't very good. So now it's wide open. You got Benenach and Kappa. You got Dotson. He's coming off a knee injury.
Yeah.
And he's not 26 anymore.
Yeah.
The irony is Dot was having a heck of a year.
He had a good season.
So I fully expect him, if he's ready to play, he's going to man the right tackle spot. And I think Benenach's going to win the right guard job. You know what? That's going to make Light's 2016 draft at least defensible. Right now, it's a tough one.
If he plays well.
And Kappa will back up Dotson, and I got no problem with that. I have absolutely no problem with it. But the right side of that line right now is under question. And don't think for a second they're going to move Marpet back to right guard. For whatever reason, they want him playing next to Donovan Smith. One day we'll get an answer for that.
Hey, I'm all confused. What the hell's going on here?
What are you confused about?
You're telling us, in one breath, you're telling us there's a glaring hole at right guard.
There is.
And the other breath, you're telling us J.R. Sweezy's a flop. I think it's a blessing that the guy is out the door. He didn't play well. Are we next to believe that Doug Martin's a glaring hole at running back because he's gone?
Well, it's a hole because Benenock has no experience. He's got one game of starting experience at guard. One.
Hey, the Bucks.
That's one more than Kappa. One more than Kappa. So, yeah, it's a glaring hole because they're totally haven't proven that they can do it. Now, what are you, Benenock's agent over here? You're going to guarantee me that he's going to blow people off the line over here?
I was simply confused.
There's no reason to be confused, Steve, more than your normal.
I still want to tell my Benenock story, but it's off the record.
You can't tell it.
I know. That's funnier than hell.
That goes in the book.
Is there any chance Dotson will not be ready week one in New Orleans, in your mind?
Of course is a question. He hasn't practiced yet. You know, he was walking around in minicamp. He says he feels great. I talked to him on the last day or second to last day. So, and he knows his body.
Mr. DeKemper, would you be comfortable going into the Superdome with Messrs. Benenock and Kappa as your starters on the right side of the line? How would you approach that game?
Cautiously.
Very cautiously.
Well, that would be awful.
I'll say this. I'll go ahead and jump in the pool. I know the three of us were talking to Dotson in the springtime, and when we were talking to him, he said, and this is right before OTA started, and he said, hey, I just got cleared, full football workouts. Next thing we know, he's having surgery. So Dotson's telling Steve, yeah, I feel great. Well, the last time you told us you felt great, 10 days later, you're going under the knife.
And not to mention guys that are under the pressure right now. How about George Warhop? Steve, by that I mean heck of a running game. First year with Cutter as the offensive coordinator. Last 2 years, absolutely nothing.
Thank you,
and Warhop admitted, my line stunk in run blocking last year. Stunk.
Well, Steve, there's an assistant coach that needs to sweat more than George Warhop. His name is Bajakian.
Timely, one at a time.
I'm not sure. I'm going to say this. Not going to be popular. I'm not sure Warhop believes that they stunk. I think that might just be a motivational line. I don't think he really believes
that. Opens the door to lead the Kemper to mention Charles Sims and Doug Martin once again.
I think everybody at that organization, not named Dirk Cutter, everybody knows that, you know what, Doug Martin stunk, and now we're going to reap the benefits of getting that stain out the door. That's what I believe.
Well, Doug Martin did stink. There's no doubt about it, but I'm not sure that the holes were there until, like, the last month of the year.
Yeah, until Peyton Barber started running, then they showed up. The holes, come on, Ira. That's a fun debate.
Yeah, that's why, you know, when fans come at me about that, I say, well, so basically you're saying the offensive line laid down for Doug
Martin. So this year, if the run game's no good, you can finally join my group and say that their run blocking stinks.
If the run game's no good, I'm just going to cry. I'm not going to talk for a while.
And you're going to be staring into the abyss over there, Steve.
Yeah, staring
into
Tom Jones, probably. We talked a bit about the abyss in the last podcast. Go back and listen. There's a whole thing around that. Now, Sage, I know you've got to run. I'm going to hit you with one tough question before we get to DeMar Dotson. Ira, who is the most important guy on this defense? The guy we cannot afford to lose on this defense. There's one guy on this defense that cannot get hurt, that has to stay healthy, that has to play his best this season, have a good year. Who is it?
My first inclination is Brent Grimes.
That's what I would have said.
That's my first inclination because of the drop-off. Because of the drop-off. Now, you know, you might say Jason Pierre-Paul. He's supposed to supply a lot of the heat. But they got other guys, you know, that might be able to step up. Maybe Noah Spence. If Grimes goes down, Lee, what do you got? What do you got? You got a bunch of unknowns. You got a bunch
of unknowns. No, you got one known, all right.
And
he's awful.
I would say Brent Grimes because of the position he plays and the drop-off from Grimes to the next corner.
Earlier.
And for once in his life, the Kemper agrees with me.
Or I had mentioned that the defensive line can't just be good. It has to be dominant. That is another reason why they have to be dominant. You know, I know fans go nuts when I say this, but prove me wrong. All three guys, young guys, these coaches got a hold of, Javon Elliott, Ryan Smith, Vernon Hargraves, got worse. They didn't stay stagnant. They didn't stay status quo. They got worse.
So did the pass rush. It got worse.
Well, these guys got worse, period, in a sentence. Right now, I'm not talking about the pass rush.
All right.
I'm talking about these three players.
I'm not sure you can separate it, Lee. Well, not that easily.
If you want to factor that in, fine. You still can't tell me those guys improved. You still can't tell me they improved. And so there's no evidence, none, that this coaching staff can develop young corners.
Now they got two rookie corners.
Thank you. Bright goes out and gets two more rookies. And let's say this is not just a trend, it's a pattern. That they can't coach young corners. Any cornerback, you pick a cornerback that's going to play opposite of Brent Grimes. You don't think quarterback's going to target that guy?
I think it's going to be Carlton Davis.
Again, if you're an offensive coordinator and like, should I go after Brent Grimes or should I go after a rookie?
Understood.
So that guy's going to get baptized by fire.
Yes.
And if you don't have a dominant defensive line, that very well could go south real quick against Drew
Maybe
Brees.
Maybe Davis is the real deal. We don't know.
Still
Maybe.
A rookie.
Still
a rookie. So if you're Sean Payton and you're Drew Brees, you don't think he's going to get tested? He's going to get tested early
enough.
There's
no question he's going to get tested. And the key is to make the quarterback uncomfortable.
Thank you. Steve? Thank you. That's why the defensive line has to be dominant.
One little line that got lost in the shuffle, Ira. One tiny little line, quote by Dirk Cutter, toward the end of spring practices. He specifically said that Carlton Davis kind of leveled off. One little line. Now, we don't know what that means, but you know what? Leveled off is not a way you want to be.
They couldn't talk enough about Carlton Davis.
Go back. Dirk Cutter said he kind of leveled off after a good start. What that means, I don't know, but we'll talk more about it next time. I know you got to run. We got Damar Dotson here. Subscribe to the podcast. Plenty next week.
We'll be back next week.
We're going to take questions next week. A huge Q&A podcast for the Sage. We're 2 weeks
from
training camp.
We're going to talk about training camp battles next week.
Maybe not. Maybe we don't want to.
There we go.
2 weeks from training camp. We'll see the Sage all over town. Say hi to him. Get out of here, Ira. Damar Dotson is next.
Yeah!
The Bourbon Street Takeover is for sale right now at fanretreat.com. This is the road trip of the season with Ira, with Lee, with Justin the Commish, Pulaski with the Stick Carriers, with Bucks fans from all over the country descending on opening day in New Orleans with fanretreat.com. All you do is go there, click on popular retreats. You'll see all the fans that are going or are interested in going, and the number grows every single day. Fans have booked. You can book right there. FanRetreat.com is where you can get your hotel booked, your flight, your tickets. And, of course, we have a whole group package, and there's going to be a huge party, a huge event the night before where Ira's going to speak and do a Q&A. So is Justin Pulaski. There'll be some other special guests and some really cool stuff going on. This is the road trip of the season, Bourbon Street Takeover by FanRetreat.com, which is your home for all tickets, all events. Use your Joe Bucks Fan discount code. Check it out. You got nothing to lose. FanRetreat.com. Get over there right now. And, of course, a final thank you to our presenting sponsors, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Go to EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. And don't forget, there is one other takeover in your life. That is the Training Camp Takeover. Training Camp Takeover, first Saturday in August, where we take over Training Camp. Just like we did last year, get your free tickets. There's a link at a link is at Buccaneers.com for your free tickets to training camp. It's going to be one wild day. All right, Ira, as promised, we're getting a little personal. It's the summertime. We get a little personal with Damar Dotson because you know what? He's been around the longest. He's the friendliest Buccaneer. And in many ways, he's might be the most interesting guy on the team.
Because he's honest. That's the number
that
one.
That helps
thing.
A hell of a
He's
lot.
Genuine.
That helps a hell of a lot. So, Dot, hey, thanks for getting personal with us. We appreciate it. I'm going to start off here, all right? And you're looking at me like, what the hell is he going to say?
What's he got?
Might have been 3 years ago. I was at a Bucks community event in Clearwater, and you were talking to some kids. And one of the kids, you were on stage doing the Q&A kind of thing, and one of the kids said to you, he raised his hand, and you called on him or whatever, and he's like, hey, how did you grow so big and strong? Did you eat all your vegetables? Okay. And your answer to the kid was, hey, look, I didn't have a lot of food growing up. And so I ate all my vegetables. It doesn't mean I liked them because sometimes that was all we had to eat. And I was the biggest guy in my family, so I needed the most food. And I ate everything I could get my hands on. And that kid was like, his face was like, oh, man, he wasn't expecting that. And it made an impact on me. It made an impact on a lot of people who were listening. And I got to ask you, you know, from the background you came from, when you get that first NFL paycheck and you see the size of it, and what is that moment like for you when you realize, man, nah, I'm in a different situation now?
Yeah. Well, my paycheck wasn't as big as, you know, some of the paycheck they're giving guys now. I know my first paycheck I made like 22, $22,000 my first check. And to me, old country boy, that's the most money you ever seen in your life. And I remember my best buddy at the time, he was on Mark Dow. We both rookies at the same time. And we was comparing checks. Like, you know, we had the same amount of checks. We both, you know, undrafted rookie free agents. And I'm like, man, I'm holding $22,000 in my hand. You know, I never seen that kind of money before in my life. But, you know, you quickly realize, like, man, that stuff goes real fast. Once you got people start, you know, coming from here and there and people asking and money being spent, that money go real fast. But yeah, that was kind of my, like, welcome to the NFL money moment, you know, holding that $22. Like, wow, I'm rich now. Which it ain't. You realize, nah, sure. It ain't nothing.
Sure. Yeah, and then you get your first real legitimate contract, and then you realize that you made it. I mean, is that just a special time for you and your family, or do you think back to when you signed that first legitimate seven-figure contract?
I just, like, money is, to me, is like, you know, it comes and goes. So I try to respect it, you know, and I'm a giving person, so I like to give, and I believe that, you know, the more I give, God will give back to me. So I'm in a position to give, you know, like, because, you know, ever got all your family and people that every time they come to you with a problem, it's always a money problem, you know. Sure. They're thinking that your money going to solve everything. So, you know, my dad always tell me, say, hey, man, start telling me your problems, and then they'll stop telling you theirs, too. So
that happens to people that win the lottery, right? Money come out of the woodwork.
Money come out of the woodwork, man. Everybody got a money problem. They think that money going to solve everything.
Ira, if you win the lottery, it's not because the 300-pound guy is coming after you. You just want to get lucky.
Dot, I got a question. How many more years are you going to play, Dot? I don't want to get rid of you, but I figure another 10, baby. Dot, how are you going to look back at your career if your last day you walk out of $1 and you ain't never been in a playoff game? And that it's a team sport, you know, that ain't going to be because of DeMar Dotson, but how's that going to shape how you look at your NFL career if that happens?
Well, one, I know you asked me how long I want to play. I want to play as long as you have me. You don't want to see me go nowhere right now.
No, huh? I don't.
Yeah, as long as I'm healthy, as long as I feel good, and as long as God give me the grace to do it, and I still enjoy doing it, then I want to continue.
You
to be
feel
out
you
here.
Got any physical limitations, Dot, that you didn't have 7 years ago?
No, I really don't. I feel that, you know, I mean,
can you recover from a game as quick?
I had some injuries that's, you know, your knee injuries, and that, you know, that kind of, you know, mess with you a little bit. But I think that the same things I can do then, you know, the athletic ability wise, I believe I can do it now.
How about recovering from
now,
a game?
Now, that's a whole different story. Now, it takes a whole, I can't recover as good as I did when I was 25, 26 years old, opposed to now. You know, you got to spend more time in the cold tub, more time taking care of your body, massages, trying to eat a little better, trying to get a little more, you know, sleep at night. And sure, I can remember doing this training camp, the one we just came by. It was a lot of days that it just wasn't going like I wanted to do. But even through that season, but the good thing about this, the season we just got done, you know, George, you know, he took tremendous care of me. Like, you know, some days on Wednesdays I didn't practice. Some days on Thursday I wouldn't practice, or if I do practice on Thursday, it's just, you know, he taking reps off here and there. So he took tremendous care to me. He was smart. So he took care of him, man. That's one thing I really appreciated. But that's why I go back and say about George, and I got the utmost respect for him, because he really tried to take care of me.
What if you're never in a postseason game, Dot? Is that gonna, is that going to really bother you, your legacy and whatever?
It is. I mean, because at this point, like, that's what you want to play for now, to get in the playoffs. I've been just going to my 10th season, and I never experienced the playoffs, you know, and it's kind of like, wow, man, you played this long, and you never got an opportunity just to experience a chance to, you know, win the big dance. And I think the playoffs is fun, even though you go through a long grinding season and you're tired. But I think you get that when guys tell me, you get that fresh burst of new energy just to play on the playoffs, because, like, man, we playing for something that's greater, that's much bigger than us right now.
And you're watching all your division teams, yeah. They all got a piece of it.
Yeah, I watch the playoffs on TV now, man. I get excited, man. Feel like I want to go out there. This is like a whole new electric that you want to be a part of. So, you know, I do want to be a part of it, you know, and hopefully, you know, that this opportunity, this year I get opportunity.
You ever talk to McCoy about that? Because you and McCoy have been around forever.
Yeah, same thing with Gerald, right?
I know George said it like last year. I mean, in the beginning of last year, you know, he came to me and was like, man, Doc, we need to get in the playoffs this year. You know, like, we've been here this long, man, we've never been in the playoffs. So I know Gerald want to go. Gerald, another guy, you know, as good as he is, all, you know, all the All-Pros and Pro Bowls he's been to, The guy never got – he don't got playoffs behind him. You know, so that's one thing that he's really missing.
Here's one for you, and this goes under the radar of a lot of people. It's almost like baseball. The best Albert Pujols has some pitcher who doesn't even have a winning record, probably has a 6 ERA, has in Buffalo. There's always some pitcher, some 250 hitter dominates, you know, the Roger Clemens of the world.
Right.
Is there some defender, whether it be in the division or not, he's not considered an all-star, but he's been around a while, that just drives you bananas, and for whatever reason he has your number, or he gives you the toughest time, or he's just so hard to block? Or is there any guy like that out there that you dread facing him, that, you know, no one thinks of him as Luke Kuechly or anything?
Yeah.
Because Iroh punch the guy. He'll take him out.
Just somebody that you say, hey, I got to face that guy Sunday. You know, I've struggled with that guy. But
he's a gnat. He just bothers you.
He bothers me. He bothers me.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know as bad as now as it was, you know, back about a few years ago. But it was a guy that I used to dread blocking. And it was Chris Long. But that's when he was down in St. Louis, and
he's
still going. But you know, even though he goes, he don't got it as he used to have it. But you know, when I had to face the guy in 2012 and 2013, and I don't know for what reason, but we had to play him back to back years, and I had to go in 2012 and 2013, and that was a nightmare, and I dreaded it. Mm-hmm. That guy had a motor. I mean, he wasn't like, you know, he didn't have like possess a whole lot of moves. But when he come off the ball,
he's known for his motor.
He's coming 100,000 miles, and he ain't stopping. And if you hit a whistle, you still got to keep blocking that guy.
Nice, nice. Well, I was going to ask you, around town, you know, you've been here, you know, this is your home. Around town, what's it like for you? What's it like for you being a Buccaneer? I mean, you're obviously very recognizable, you know, with your size. what's it like for you?
I enjoy town, but I enjoy the weather. You know, I've met a lot of good people here. I love going out to the beach. So I mean, it's like home to me now. You know, if people don't recognize you as by your face, people, you know, see, you know, big tall black guy, they say, man, he got to do something. So you know, they know I do something, man. So they coming up, you know, little old ladies in the grocery store, man, coming up there. You know, do you play football? You know, and so you know, it's always like a trend that I go through. So every time you go on somewhere and people start up a conversation with you, you know what the question going to be: what you do for a living? Do you play football? So I get it from here and there. So I'm just used to it now.
What would you tell a free agent about Tampa, Dot, if they were thinking about coming, being a Buck, and they asked you about the lifestyle? What would you say about Tampa Bay?
I think Tampa's best place to play. I mean, you got good weather. It's good. It's not cold. I hate cold weather. So I don't want to practice in cold weather. I don't want to play in cold weather. So here's a place that you got good warm weather, you know, almost year round. You know, and you got the beach right there. It's not too far from Miami. To me, it's an exciting place. A lot to do, a lot of good atmosphere around here. Person like, you know, nightlife. There's a lot of nightlife. There's a strip club on every corner.
Friendly people.
Friendly people, yeah. You know, there's a strip club on every corner. That's what you like. You know, some people in that stuff. So, I mean, it's into whatever you want is here.
What do you like? Well, I'm not trying to set you up here, but, you know, like I see Adam Humphries on Instagram, and he's a golf head. And he's always golfing. I see him at the beach once on Instagram, of course. Sap is a big fisher. A fisherman. Love to fish. Both the mangroves. What's your favorite activity away from the football field? And maybe basketball. What do you like to do?
Well, I can't tell you all my personal stuff, man. You're going to get me in trouble now.
I didn't know if you were fish or golf.
We'll show up with a film crew over there.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about any clothing option establishment.
He was just talking about a strip club on every corner. Right? Got to read
gonna,
between the lines.
I thought he was selling the place on future teammates.
You're going to get me in trouble.
Ira knows all about those places. You got your face up in one of them, I think, Ira. Patronage, right? Patronage.
What do you do in the month between the end of mandatory mini camp and the start of training camp, Dot? Do you leave Tampa in that sweltering summer? You try to get away for 3 weeks.
That little money we got. Yeah. I usually go back home, go back, hang out with my family, because I know, you know, we're going to get into the grind of training camp. So
it's muggy there too, right, Dot? It's muggy, you know, back home.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
But I go hang out with mom and my dad. And just get back home, hang out, because I know it's probably the last opportunity I'm going to have with them, you know, for about 4 or 5 months. So that's all I do. In the beginning, I used to go down to Atlanta and work out and train. So now I got my trainer here. So we just work out here.
Do they come to Tampa during the season, Dot? So you play?
Oh, my parents? Oh, man, they retired. They here all the time. My dad just left last week. Mm. My mom here all the time. Dad here all the time. So they just two retired people that's always spend most of their time here than they do now.
You think you'll live here post career, Dot?
I can see myself. I haven't made up no decision yet, you know, because but I don't know. I mean, I can see myself living here.
What is your normal routine? I mean, obviously, we're recording this in middle of, or actually late February, but what's your routine before OTAs? I mean, I know some players still go to one Buckin workout.
Yeah.
You're allowed to do that. I know you can't talk to coaches, but you're allowed to work out. What's your routine in February, your daily routine? I mean, do you go to – you've just been cleared medically, you told us.
Yeah.
But do you go to one Buckin workout every day? What's a typical February day like for DeMar Dotson?
Well, now it's been me working on my rehab. But before, if I wasn't hurt, just get up. I usually don't start training until, like, March. You know, I like at least take 2 months off, let my body recover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just try not to put too much strain on me. So it's just I like to take vacations. That's what I used to do. I'd be somewhere maybe on the beach somewhere or in the Bahamas somewhere or back home or in Miami or somewhere. I like to travel because it's my time to travel.
Is that the secret to your longevity? I mean, that you 2 months, like, that's it, no football.
Oh, that's what I do. Like, I don't do anything. Like some guys, like, right now, they in there working out right now. Or they, you know, a week or 2 weeks, give themselves like 2 weeks, and they back at it. You know, I want to pound my joints and my body that, you know, doing all that just, you know, basically year-round training. I like to give myself 2 months. And then when I get back, you know, I start working myself back into it lightly. Then when I come back to OTAs, you're working. Then you take another little time before you get to training camp. Then you come back to training camp.
And, Dot, it's a mental break, too. It's a mental break.
It's a mental break, yeah.
Yeah, if you go to Miami Beach, that's no mental break. That's a lot of stimulation going on there. That's a different kind of place, South Beach.
Well, it all depends on what you're doing in Miami.
That's true.
I'm just, relaxing.
That's true. That's true. I guess the last question I was going to ask you, Dot, is, you know, like Lee said, we're taping in February. This time of year, going into your 10th year, but free agency hits and the 2 days before the draft, are you kind of like, you know, saying a couple extra prayers that, man, I hope they don't grab a right tackle, something crazy happens? And, you know, even when the team's not supposed to draft a tackle, things happen in the NFL. Do you worry about that at all? How does that work?
I would say that, you know, maybe years ago I used to worry about it, maybe like, you know, maybe 2012 or 2011 or something. You know, I used to kind of worry about that stuff, but you know, now I think I believe in myself. So, you know, I'm confident in myself. So it don't matter if I would get released today. I believe in myself that I can find a job and I can play in this game. So once you develop that confidence in yourself that you know you can play, and you don't worry about the fact that if somebody grab a right tackle or if they draft a guy or they release you or you get cut, I think that fear, you know, has left a window, you know.
Gotcha.
Because you put stuff on tape.
Tape. You know, God blessed me with a tremendous career, 9 years, going into 10 years. It's been his grace and mercy that have kept me, you know. And I put a lot of work into it. I believe I can still play. I know I can still play. So I think that, you know, I don't walk around with that fear. You know, I think a guy who don't know and who's unsure about tomorrow, he had that fear about, man, what if they do this? What if they do that? I'm not going to let, you know, the NFL cripple me like that of just walking around as, man, what if they cut me or what if they cut me? What if they do cut me? I mean, I still believe if I want to play this game, I believe I can find a home and play.
I don't know if you saw it, and maybe if you didn't see it, it'll make you feel good. At the end of the year, Dirk Cutter does a news conference, and then he cheers because he doesn't have to talk to the media for a couple of months. And so, but I asked him, I said, give me two highlights, or not two. I said, give me some highlights on the offensive line this year, Dirk. What'd you like? He only mentioned two guys, Donovan Smith and you.
Mm-hmm.
So for whatever that's worth, the coach loves you.
Oh, well, I appreciate it. It's always good to be loved, right?
Yeah.
And then I said to Cutter, I'm not too sure about Dotson, but, you know.
But,
well, here's one for you. And we were talking about personal things, and I know this only because I'm in the locker room and I talk to players. I'm fortunate enough to do that. However, the NFL draft has become such a huge, huge thing. Mm-hmm. It's like bigger than the NHL Stanley Cup. It may even be as big as the World Series. I mean, people are talking about it on radio for weeks. I mean, for weeks, months. But NFL players are like, eh. I mean, I've talked to some guys, some bucks in the locker room. They're not even watching it. It's like, you know, it's like a tree fell in the forest.
Yeah.
What do you do with the draft? I mean, do you even pay any attention to that? You're just like, okay, just tell me who my new players are when it's over with. Or
I'm like those guys that you just said. I don't even watch it. You know, if the only time I really watched it is when we drafted Jameis with the number one pick. And it was all the anticipation going around. And I was actually at the draft party, so
okay.
I watched it then. So, but I mean, just sitting down watching the draft, I think it's more excitement to everybody else on the outside as the fans. But as you play this game and you a player, I don't think you're really too much concerned about it. I mean, you eventually, whoever the player is that they draft, you're going to meet them eventually and go on. So, I just wait till the draft over with. I look on my phone and see who we drafted, and then we're going to go on by the business. So.
See that Irie looks on his phone for the news.
Yeah. I love it, baby. I love it. Dot, we can't thank you enough for your
I appreciate it. I'm going to use my gift card, man.